Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I want to talk to you for a moment about the elephant in the room, the imaginary elephant. You know, it's funny, you could tell people the power of suggestion, right? Don't think about purple elephants. You're all thinking about them right now. But no, I want to talk about an elephant, but not in the way that you might think. Imagine, if you will, four men who have never heard nor seen of an elephant. And I know that's crazy to think of, but just for a moment, indulge me. But these men all come into contact with an elephant, but all four men are blindfolded. And so one man comes up to the elephant and touches the trunk and is told, "This is an elephant." And he says, "Oh, so it's like a snake because it moves and it's long and it's very muscular." Another man comes and is told, "This is an elephant," and he touches the leg. "Oh, this is strong and big like a tree trunk." Another man comes to the ear and touches the ear, and "Oh, this is like a fan, and it moves, and it blows air, so this is what an elephant is like." And then finally, the fourth man comes to the backside of the elephant and touches the tail, and "Oh, it's kind of like, the guy says it's like a snake, but this is kind of like a rope. This is very long and kind of thin." And none of them actually know what an elephant is, and the elephant's going, "What are you guys doing?" making a loud noise. And then they're like, "Oh, it's like a choir because it's got a trumpet." If you have only a portion of the information and only a way to arrive at only a portion of the truth, then you don't understand the whole truth. And as Miss Paula mentioned in her children's message, we need to have the entirety of the truth for things to make sense. And these, all three of our readings today, give us a picture of that, arriving at the truth, the fullness of the truth. They give us a picture of that. And so I want to look at all of our readings today. First, I want to begin looking at our gospel text for today in John 16. At the very beginning, Jesus tells his disciples here in the upper room the night before he is crucified, the night on which he is betrayed. He tells them he still has many things to tell them, but they cannot bear them now. You see, it's funny that Jesus would say this, because for the last three chapters, he's been telling them a lot. And really, if you think about it, Jesus' ministry, he has spent more time explaining the kingdom of God, comparing the kingdom of God to things which they could understand, than probably anyone before him. And with much more clarity and intention. And yet, we get to the end of his earthly ministry, and Jesus says, "I have many, many things to tell you. Many more, but you cannot bear them now." And the question is, why? Why can they not bear them now? I'm sure that's the question they were asking each other and would have asked Jesus had they had the opportunity, but they have many other questions too. What does he mean by a little while? And so in their hearts, they were probably tucking that away. What else does he have left to teach us? And why can't we know it now? The reason that they can't know it now and bear it now is because these things, as Paul would later on say, are spiritually discerned. And right now, on that side of the resurrection and the ascension, they don't have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit yet. And so much of what Jesus wants to reveal to them so that they can arrive at the truth, they just simply cannot bear in their own strength and in their own spirit. They don't yet have eyes to see and ears to hear. The effects of sin still cloud their ability to understand God's purposes. And so as our readings in the Easter season start to move us towards the ascension and towards Pentecost, we start to uncover these things a little bit more as we read and as we move forward to the day where they do understand. But even on the day of the ascension, they're still asking these questions. Will you now restore to Israel the kingdom? Their vision was too small. They didn't have a full measure of the truth. But Jesus promises in the very next verse of our gospel text that there will be a time when the Holy Spirit will come and he will lead them into all the truth, foreshadowing the revelation that was given to Peter, which was described in our first reading for today. You see, Acts 11 is a great summary of what just happened in Acts 10. So you get the picture of it, but I encourage you at some point today, maybe, to go back and read Acts 10 and get the whole explanation of what exactly happened. And so we understand now that Peter has come back to Jerusalem and he's talking to the brothers there, and there's this circumcision party. What does that mean? It's the people that believed in Jesus, believed that he was the Messiah, but also believed that in order to believe in the Messiah and to be saved, you still had to follow all of the rules and all of the laws and all of the traditions that God had set forth. And so if you wanted to believe, you needed to be circumcised. You needed to keep the food laws, the ceremonial laws, all of those things they felt were still required. So when Peter comes back to Jerusalem after having met with Gentiles, going into a Gentile's house, having eaten with a Gentile, probably food that was unclean according to them, that was not in accord with the Jewish laws, they accused him at worst of not following the traditions of the elders, which is bad enough, but in their minds, it probably very likely was sinful for Peter to go and do this. How could you do that? You've betrayed our people. You could still hear that cry from them, probably. And yet Peter, knowing what had actually happened, he had a fuller understanding of the truth. He had arrived at where the Spirit had carried him to recognize the salvation was not just for the Jews, but all along it was God's plan to save the Gentiles as well. That the God of the Old Testament is the God of all peoples. And Jesus' sacrifice was good for all people. And the Holy Spirit can work in all people. And that the Lord is making all things new. And so do not call common or unclean what the Lord has called and made clean. This is what Peter tells them happens. And oh, by the way, the Spirit fell on the Gentiles every bit as much in the same way that it did for us. And the only response that these men of the circumcision party can make at first is silence. They are awestruck that God would do something like that. But then the very next thing that they do is they glorify God. And they tell him, then to the Gentiles also, God has granted repentance that leads to life. They too arrived at a fuller understanding of the truth. And you and I, even on the other side of the resurrection and the ascension, and those of us who have been given the Holy Spirit, we have the truth of God's grace revealed to us. In our baptism, we are united with Christ into a death like his to sin, so that we may also rise to walk in newness of life. But yet, we also are still awaiting the fullness of the truth to be delivered to us, because we still live in a sinful world. Not everything is perfect right now. We still await Jesus' second coming to return and redeem everything to be perfect the way he intends it. And as we wait, we can be tempted to give up hope. We can be tempted to give in to sin, and we can be tempted to turn back, because there's still pain in this world. There's still crying, there's still mourning, and there is still death. None of us can deny that these things still exist in our world today. And if that was the end of things, then it would be sad. But thanks be to God that this is not the end all, be all. This world is indeed passing away, but God has in store for us a new world, a new heavens, and a new earth, which is the subject of our third text for today from Revelation chapter 21. We have the word of God, which is trustworthy and true. And we see here in this text the new heaven and the new earth coming down, and the sea that separates us from God, well, that is no more. No, instead, there is no separation between us and God. Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. That is us arriving at the fullness of the way and the truth and the life, is to be in the same dwelling place as God, to be at the throne of God and the throne of the Lamb who takes away the sin of the world. And that, brothers and sisters in Christ, is our destiny. It is what God has promised for us. It is what God will make happen for us. And it is the joy of our salvation to know that this is most certainly true, that it is done. Just as Christ proclaimed from the cross, it is finished. Here now in Revelation, he says, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega. To the thirsty, I will give from the spring of the water of life without payment. For I have already paid for it with my blood shed for you on the cross. And he has already conquered and has this heritage, that God is his God and he is his son, and that we get to partake in that too, because we believe and because we have been made his children by his work. In the means of grace, God gives us the ability to believe his word and to receive his promises. In baptism, we receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And it's so important that we believe that that actually happens, that there's a change in baptism, that something is given to us that changes us from the inside out. Because, as I said earlier, Paul says these things are spiritually discerned, and we are of the flesh. Hear now what he says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. None of the rulers of the age understood this, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, what no eye has seen, no ear has heard, nor the heart of man imagined, what God has prepared for those who love him. These things God has revealed to us through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. For who knows a person's thoughts except the spirit of that person which is in him? So also no one comprehends the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might understand these things freely, freely, freely given to us by God. And we impart this in words not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Spirit, interpreting spiritual truths to those who are spiritual. The natural person does not accept these things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly to him, and he is not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. Brothers and sisters, we can spiritually discern these things, and we can trust God's word is true, that we have a place with him. We have forgiveness, we have life, and we have salvation. And no matter what happens in this world, no matter how the pieces seem to not fit today, they will. And we will live forever in the new heavens and the new earth, in righteousness, innocence, and blessedness for all eternity, because we have a Lord and Savior who has made a way and brings us to the fullness of the truth. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen.